Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Melbourne, 1975. For the future. Since Prabhupada said I could see him at any time, I went to his room late one afternoon, just as a social worker was leaving. Prabhupada handed him a piece of Sandesh Prasad, as the man mumbled something about a previously made appointment, offered his thanks and left. Prabhupada and the devotees, Madhavisa Swami, Ugrasava, Moga, and others, laughed. Prabhupada then looked at me. I've read your letter. You should not take sannyas now. The devotees' laughter increased, thinking that I had asked Prabhupada's permission to take sannyas in my letter. How old are you now? Prabhupada asked. 28. How old is your daughter? Only 2. Prabhupada smiled and replied, householder is also an ashram. It is also meant for spiritual advancement. You should remain a householder, and when you are 50, your daughter will be 24 and can be married. Your wife can then live with her. When you are 50, you can think about taking sannyas. My comment. In this conversation, Prabhupada did not mention anything about my preaching in Hong Kong. Instead, he ordered me not to take sannyas until I was 50. I understood from his reply that I should not at present return to Hong Kong, but I was nevertheless puzzled after hearing his words. Weeks later, as I walked down Flinders Street in downtown Melbourne, it hit me. Prabhupada said I should continue in householder life until I am 50. Then at that time, but not before, I can consider changing my household situation. Prabhupada is instructing me now that when I am 50, my situation and service may be changed, including the possibility of leaving my wife and family for preaching. Interplanetary eagles. During one evening lecture, Prabhupada spoke boldly of giant eagles that fly from planet to planet, eat elephants, and hatch their eggs in outer space with the help of atmospheric friction. As he spoke, sitting tall and fully confident on the purple velvet Vyasasan, his eyes blazed, challenging any doubters. Any questions? He asked at the end of his lecture. Silence. One lone hand hesitatingly sprouted from the crowd of 65 devotees and guests. Raghunath, Srila Prabhupada, in your lecture you mentioned giant eagles who fly from planet to planet. Prabhupada replied, yes. Raghunath, well, it's a little hard to believe. Prabhupada, sitting taller with his eyes almost defiant. What do you know? You are still within the womb of your mother. My comment. The conditioned soul's conception of reality is incomplete and imperfect. We will readily admit that no two persons perceive the world in exactly the same way, yet we nevertheless consider our own perceptions as reality. Prabhupada pointed out that Raghunath's illusory perception of reality, which was limited by Australian cultural biases, finite intelligence, faulty cognizance, and spiritual babyhood, prevented him from understanding the goings-on within a material universe, what to speak of in Goloka Vrindavan. An open darshan. Before my, quote, you should not take sannyas meeting with Prabhupada, I had arranged through the temple authorities to privately meet Prabhupada. But now that I had gone to see him on my own, I didn't need that appointment. Devotees begged me to be allowed to come during my scheduled meetings. My private darshan became an open darshan, and all the locals' devotees filed into Prabhupada's room. The parquet floor in Prabhupada's room quickly became crowded with devotees, but still more entered. Prabhupada sat on his plush couch-like asana as he watched the disciples enter, his disciples enter. Madhavisa saw the devotees' enthusiasm and remarked, Prabhupada, It seems that the devotees want to get more of your association. Prabhupada smiled affectionately. I am also wanting that. My comment. Prabhupada's preaching mission required constant travel. Most of his disciples, therefore, lived in separation from Prabhupada, although he remained the center of their lives. They rarely saw him more than for a few days each year. And even during those few days, most devotees' association with Prabhupada took place in his morning or evening classes. Empowered by the inspiration they derived during those times, however, the devotees continued throughout the year, trying to please him by their services. Still, the devotees always wanted more of Prabhupada's association. Because Prabhupada was attracted by their sincerity, he also relished their association. Why open darshans were rare. One young woman, who was neither initiated nor married, stepped up to Prabhupada. She smiled and took out some drawings her five-year-old son had scribbled. Prabhupada looked at the first one, and the woman explained, "This is Krishna with his cowherd boyfriends." Prabhupada smiled lightly. "Very nice." She then pulled out her second scribbled picture, Krishna holding Govanand Hill. The third, fourth, and fifth pictures followed in quick succession. Prabhupada's appreciations turned from words to nods as his smile dropped towards a frown. The audience of devotees began to fidget and their eyes lowered in embarrassment as the women continued producing picture after picture. My comment. The devotees felt pain watching this woman take advantage of Prabhupada's patience and tolerance. They knew the value of each moment of his time. Offer me with devotion. The devotees in Melbourne had cultivated a flourishing tulsi garden in a round greenhouse near the back of the temple property. The brahmachari, quote, in charge of the tulsi plants, was an expert gardener, but he was a little eccentric. He also seemed to think that his service was most glorious and that other services were inferior. Madhavisa introduced him to Prabhupada as several devotees sat at Prabhupada's feet. Madhavisa, our tulsi gardener has a question for you, Prabhupada, he should ask. The devotee gardener, in an affected accent, asked Prabhupada how many tulsi leaves should be placed on Krishna's plate for the offering. With his service as the center of the universe, his intonations and hand gestures revealed his vision of mountains of tulsi leaves on Krishna's plate that would dwarf the tiny helpings of rice, dal, chapatis, and sweets. We expected Prabhupada to praise the gardener for his ability to grow luxuriant tulsis, but Prabhupada simply looked at him for several seconds and then answered his question by saying, "One." My comment. In the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks his devotees to offer him a leaf, a fruit, a flower, and some water with love and devotion. Krishna's mention of a leaf, patra, is in the singular. He is satisfied only by devotion, not the quantity or size of the offering. Prabhupada was reminding the devotee gardener that devotion is the essence of our accomplishments in the Krishna consciousness movement. Okay, we shall end here. And Hare Krishna.